2 o'clock, you may also, of course, play volleyball in the afternoon. Now, as we open God's Word together, we present our brother Don Talon from Florida. Brother Talon. I don't see how a person can sing so well so early in the morning. I have difficulty even speaking, and I certainly have appreciated it. And I want to say something, and I'm not going to look at the person when I say it, but I appreciate that piano. Amen. Brother, all you have to do is travel around in meetings sometimes, and then you really appreciate it. But it's a real ministry. It's an unsung ministry, and when that person is there, right there, just like that, how we appreciate it. Please take your Bibles and turn to the little book of Jonah this morning. I might announce this morning that in the will of God, tomorrow night, when it's my privilege to speak again, I want to speak on 5 wonderful words. 5 wonderful words. That's tomorrow night. The day after that, I want to speak about the God of the second chance. That's right. The God of the second chance. And then on Friday, in the will of God, I want to speak about good words and words. So that's what we have to look forward to from our little book of Jonah. But now this morning, the book of Jonah, chapter 1, and we want to read verses 3 through 7. Jonah chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and I'm going to ask that we read it responsibly. I'll read verse 3, you 4, and we'll alternate through verse 7. Jonah chapter 1, I'll begin reading at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. All right, together. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was in danger. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. God will bless you with this portion from his word. Shall we again ask his blessing? Father, now, as we seek to hear thy voice speaking to us, we pray again that the author of this word, the blessed Holy Spirit, may take these things and reveal them to us. We pray again that we may have receptive hearts, retentive hearts, and we pray, our Father, that may we not only be hearers of the word, but doers as well. Oh God, we're asking you now to calm our hearts in thy presence. Oh God, speak to me. Speak to each one. For we pray in the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Someone has said that preaching is self-suicide, and I agree. When God gives you a line of truth to teach, as God has laid upon my heart this week, I want you to know that I think it speaks to me more than it speaks to you. I have said, I think, every time I've stood in back of this desk that this fellow Jonah has been working me over, and brother, he has this morning. But just so that we don't forget, some people have been asking me or mentioning that they didn't get my outline of chapter 1. So let me give it to you very quickly. It's not the outline that I'm using, but it's a good outline to understand chapter 1. In verses 1 and 2, we have Jonah's call and commission. In verse 3, we have his disobedience and departure. In verses 4 through 11, we have his rebuke and reply. And then in the balance of the chapter, we have his suggestion and his sacrifice. But as I approach what God has laid on my heart this morning, I think of the words of a poet who said something like this. One ship sails east and another west by the self-same wind that blows. It's the set of the sail and not the gale that determines the way it goes. And like the winds of the sea are the waves of fate as we journey on through life, it's the set of the soul that determines the goal and not the stress and the strife. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, arise. And Jonah arose to flee from the presence of God. Here's a man who heard the voice of God speaking to him. He had the word of God, and rebellion comes into his heart. He knows what God says. He knows what God's speaking to him, and he rebels against it. Now, it's very interesting to trace Jonah's steps as he rebels against God after he heard the word of God. You know, the word of God tells us that he starts out for Joppa. And apparently he had his passport in his pocket. He was all prepared. And then again, too, he in all probability, had his wallet with him. Because he took it along and he was on his way going down to Joppa. And then as he journeys on, it's rather amazing to see that nobody stops him in the way and says, Jonah, watch out. So probably Jonah thought, I'm sure God's with me. Look at the decision I have made. He heard the voice of God, remember? But there's no one to say, Jonah, watch out. And I suppose he thought within himself, well, things are going quite well for me today. But as we're here this morning, and we look out over that sea, and we see that sail, and as we peer out, as we look at the horizon, we see a ship. We see a man. And he's down in the hold of that ship, fast asleep. But then for a moment we're permitted to gaze up into heaven, into the face of the supreme, the sovereign God. God looks down at that scene. He sees that ship. And so he says, wind, come on. And the wind starts working on that ship, and the waves become wild and tempestuous. But then we have a conversation between those veteran sailors. You remember? It's obvious they were terror-stricken. If you've read chapter 1, they tried their best to bring that ship safely to land. And then finally they say, you remember that fellow that came on board? That fellow who had the knapsack, you know, and where is he? What? He's down in the hold of the ship. He's fast asleep. And they said, let's cast lots and see. They cast lots, as verse 7 tells us, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then they have an interview. Jonah tells him about his occupation, and if we had read the balance of the chapter this morning, you would find that he told them that he was fleeing from the presence of God. You see, there's a man who's trying to get away from the voice of God. He's trying to get away from the whisper of God. He's trying to get away from the face of God. I'm wondering as I look at you this morning, if I'm hearing someone say, you know, On July 3rd, 1973, as Mr. Pilon stood up in front of us at the Bristol Bible Conference, I heard the voice of God. He was speaking to me, and I rebelled. But we go to this man, Jonah, and he makes a tremendous admission. He tells these sailors, unbelievers, if you please, I know that because of my presence on this ship, this storm has come upon you. Listen, someone has well said that rebellion never slips God's notice. And it's foolish for men to think they can resist God's will with impunity. You can't do it. And I want to say something here this morning. I don't want God's second best for me. I want the perfect will of God. But look at verse 12, if you will. Look what Jonah said. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Now before we do that this morning, before we toss that man into the sea, I'm going to ask Jonah to come up here on the platform. Jonah, I want you to address this company of believers this morning at the Bristol Bible Conference. I want you to stand here for a short time and tell these people what disobedience means in the heart of a man. Jonah, what do you have to say? Jonah says to us this morning, I'll tell you. Look at verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. When this man stepped up to the ticket office and said, I want a first-class ticket to Joppa, or to Tarshish, and the man said, the agent said, the cost is $110.22. And when he laid the $110.22 on the desk to receive his ticket, that wasn't all that Jonah paid. Joppa. And I believe as Jonah stands here this morning, he talks to us about the cost of disobedience in the heart of a man. What did it cost you, Jonah? Jonah says to us this morning, I'm going to tell you my story. But before I do, why don't you find out what it cost some other men to disobey God? And we're going to do that this morning. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 10. Here's a man by the name of Abraham. He heard the call of God. And in response to the call of God, this man went on a journey. But now notice with me, Genesis 12, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down unto Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he came near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Here was a man who heard the voice of God. And as you read this story in this part of the book of Genesis and its context, you see what it cost a man to disobey God. Abraham, what did you lose? Abraham stands before us this morning and he says, because I was disobedient to God, I lost my faith. I lost my courage. And I lost my testimony for God. You read this portion of the Word of God, I wish we had time to dwell here all morning. You'll find that there's no altar here. There's no tent that marks the man of God. The altar which speaks of his communion with the living God, and the tent which depicts his pilgrim pathway here on the earth. They're not mentioned. And we know that because of disobedience to God, dear Abraham was the loser. My Christian friends, I want to say something this morning. The greatest blight on the church of Jesus Christ, now I'm going to make that difference. The greatest blight on the assemblies of God's people and evangelical people and evangelical groups in particular, in this hour, is disobedience to the Word of God. And you're not going to like to hear it, but it's true. Just think what would happen in the place where you live and where I live if each one of us would walk in absolute obedience to the Word of God. I didn't say emotion, I said the Word. We'd make an impact on this world that would be unparalleled. And each one of us would only believe God. Like dear old Paul, he said, I believe God. If any of us would only believe God and obey God and push rebellion in our away from our lives, by the Spirit of God. You know what would happen in our assemblies today? We see a wave of blessing so great that we couldn't contain it. I was speaking to someone this morning and I said this to this person, we're not willing to take God at His word. You trust God and there's no and or if. I've known this with personal experience. Now, it's hard to do. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not kidding anyone. When you trust God and rest on His Word, I want you to know something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 is true. God is faithful. And so Abraham stands before us this morning. And he's saying something like this. I know what you're talking about, Jonah. I know what it costs because of disobedience. He stands here next to me and he bows his head in shame. The cost of disobedience. I want you to look at another man, Numbers chapter 20, will you? Numbers chapter 20. Verse 9. Numbers chapter 20, verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear ye rebels, listen. This was the voice of the meekest man in the Old Testament, and he's having a meeting before the brethren. And what does he do? He loses his temper in rebellion against God. So we're calling Moses up here this morning. Moses, what did it cost you to disobey God? Moses says, you know it cost Abraham something, yes. But Moses says, it cost me something too. Moses, what did it cost you? Moses said, listen, I died before my time. I never got home. I missed the reward that God had for me. Look at the 12th verse, number 20. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Oh, listen. What disobedience does in the life of a man, a Christian man, and a Christian woman. I tell you this morning, as I stand before you, I have a tremendous responsibility resting on my shoulders. Because I hear the word of God, and you do too. Every one of us has a tremendous responsibility because we hear the word of God. Jonah, Abraham, Moses, let's call another, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Now we know that this psalm comes from the pen of dear David. And as you read this psalm, you try to enter into the spirit of it. I've read this psalm on occasions in trying to stand next to dear David and locking arms with him. And I'm afraid that I've shed some tears. Look at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. David, what did it cost you to disobey God? David stands before us this morning and he said, because I was disobedient to God, I lost my joy. I lost my power. And I lost my testimony too. I heard a preacher of the gospel on one occasion say that of a Sullivan incident that happened to him one day. He heard a car door slam outside his house. And soon the doorbell rang and he went to the door and here was a very distinguished looking gentleman standing there. The man said to him, I came here today to speak with you about my life. He said, I'm fairly well known in this city. And the man said, I knew him. And he said, so we came, they went into his study and they sat down. And so the preacher of the gospel opened the conversation something like this. He said, well, I'm glad you're here. I'm happy for the impact you've made on our city. And the man said, that isn't what I came to talk to you about at all, sir. I came to talk to you today about an incident which happened in Western Canada 25 years ago when God spoke to my heart and he called me by name and he said, this is what I want you to do. And I said, Lord, I'll do anything. After all, Lord, you've equipped me in many ways. He continued, God wrestled with me. God spoke with me. And do you know, sir, I've lived for 25 years with frustration, with anxiety, as a result of that day 25 years ago when I looked into the face of God and said, I'll go my way and pay the price. The cost of disobedience. Jonah knew something about this. But now back to Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3. Oh, I've got to hurry. In the middle of the verse, Jonah went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it. Look at verse 5. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. Chapter 2, verse 6. I went down. Here was a man who was running from God. And I would remind you this morning that the cost of disobedience is linked with a course of disobedience, and the course of disobedience is always down. Down from peace with God. Down from fellowship with God. Down from the conscious presence of God. And as I read this verse, I see in the life of a Christian a cesspool of sin, if you please. Jonah goes down. My Christian friends, when you lift up your hands to pay the price, remember, there's always a course, and the course is down. We haven't time this morning, but I suggest that in your leisure time, you read Genesis chapter 13 and read about this man, Lot. We look at him, you remember, in Genesis chapter 13, and he stands next to Abraham as they look over the well-watered plain of Jordan, and Abraham says, now look, Lot, you take your choice. If you go this way, I'll go that. And so Lot stands there, you know, and he gets a whiff of the fragrance from Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he looks at that well-watered plain, and he sees a fine place to pasture his Angus and his Herefords. And then he looks into Sodom and Gomorrah, and he sees a place for his children to get a great education and all the rest. And I suppose he sees a possibility for advancement. But when I come to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 12, I read this. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And I suppose from our vantage point this morning, we would say, Lot, don't do it! Don't do it, Lot! And then we see how the kings of those wicked cities go out, and finally Lot is captured. And if there's any sin of our age, my Christian friends and my young person, it's being captured by this age. Now I have to live in this world. I can't get out of it. It's all around me, and it beckons us, and it pulls me. But I'll tell you, God save us from being captured by this age. Lot, what did you lose? This is tremendous. Listen, my family friend, he lost his family. He lost his family. You know, I said this, and I say it publicly, and I'm still on first base. My kids are still coming up. If I lose my family, I lose everything. Those darling kids you got, what did you lose? Here was a dad. Because, and we know he was a Christian, he was a righteous man, the New Testament tells. You wouldn't know it from the Old Testament, but he was a righteous man. And as a result, he lost his family. He lost his fortune, and he lost his testimony. Now as we come back to Jonah, I believe you can see the relevance of this passage that we have read to us this morning. A man pays, and then he begins a course, and the course is down. So we have the cost of disobedience. The course of disobedience. Now we want a third one, the calamity of disobedience. You see, if Jonah could have gotten out in his own canoe and started out on the sea alone, that would have been one thing. But he couldn't. If he could have gotten in his power boat and slipped away into the sea and said, look, God, I just don't care. I don't care what you say. That would have been one thing. We could have probably said, go do it, Jonah. Get out of here. We don't want you around. But he couldn't. Let him drown. But I want you to know something this morning, my Christian friend. No man, no woman drowns alone. This is the tragedy of it all. You know, it's sad when God exposes sin in the life of a Christian and the eyes of the unbelieving world look on. They don't understand what happens. It may well be. And it does happen to a Christian who's out of the will of Christ. The world doesn't understand that God sometimes has to chastise believers, you know. and even sometimes exposure before unbelievers is calculated by God to benefit the believer. And Jonah was out of the will of God, and God exposed him. The calamity of disobedience. You know, when I turn to Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, that in fact, Romans chapter 14, that great chapter of Christian ethics, it says this, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." My Christian friends, whether we realize it or not, our lives are connected with other lives on this sea of life in which we are going. And our lives are involved with other lives. And the endangering of my life endangers the lives of other Christians. When some child of God pays the price, and then they go down, and they're overtaken as they sometimes are by the storm, and they collapse, and the world looks on, and the world laughs, I hate it. I hate it. Young man, young woman, older man, older woman, listen to me. You can't sail alone. You can't do it. Remember that man, Saul, center on the basketball team, head and shoulders above everybody else. The prophet came to him and said, "Listen, you go out and smite Amalek." So Saul went out. He said before he went, "Now listen, don't spare anybody. Ox, suckling, sheep, man, woman, destroy them all." You remember what happened? Saul went out. He just couldn't do it. Why? There's so many good things that would help him, you know. So he destroyed the bad and he kept the good. Remember, he came back to Samuel and he said, "We've done just what you told us to do. We've obeyed the word of God." And Samuel says, "What's that bleating of those things I hear in my ears? What do I hear?" "Oh," Saul said, "why, we just mistook those so we could sacrifice." Samuel says, "To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Listen, my friend, situation ethics is nothing new. It's right there. But there's something else I want you to notice about that incident. The Bible tells us that he left Agag, the king of Amalek, alive. A little later on, Saul has a battle. And you know, kings went out into the battle in those days, and they led their troops. And so Saul goes out, and he finds himself in the midst of a battle. And he falls. And do you know the man that smote him? 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10 says, it was a man of Amalek whom he didn't destroy. But that's not all. The story even gets worse. When Saul went down, he pulled others with him. Just like a great big tree in the forest. You know, when a tree goes down, the saplings go down too. And you know what happened? There were others affected. And as Saul went down and held out those mighty arms, you know who fell with him? His own son. Because, listen, my Christian friends, you can't live alone. And you can't die alone. This was a calamity in the life of these sailors. And because a saint was out of place, he endangered the life of those sailors. And listen, saints trying to escape God are just one problem to the church of God. I heard a man tell how some years ago, remember when they had the old drug stores with the soda fountain? He loved ginger ale. So for a break, every now and then he'd go down and order a great big tall glass of ginger ale, and he'd sit at the fountain. And as he was sitting there one day, a lovely young lady came sitting next to him, and she ordered a Coke. He said, "I knew the lady. In fact," he said, "she was one of our assembly family." And so the young lady began to talk to him. She said, "I've been meaning to tell you about my life." And then she began to tell him what was happening in her life. And then she looked at him and she said, "I've decided." And he looked her straight in the eye and he said, "Do you have any idea what it will cost? Do you have any idea what it will cost you and your children?" And this lady looked him right in the eye and she said, "Sir, I don't care what it costs. I've made up my mind." Just recently, that man was preaching in another state. He hadn't seen that lady for 20 years. He looked in the congregation, and about five rows back, there she sat. After he finished his message, she came and stood next to him by his side, and she said this, "You'll never know what you said to me that day, how true the words were that you said to me that day. When you sat in that drugstore and drank your ginger ale and I drank my Coke," she said, "I've been paid and paid and paid." She said, "Will it ever quit?" And then as the tears coursed down her cheek, she said, "My disobedience has cost me a boy and a girl and a girl and a boy and a husband and a mother and an uncle. They've all been ruined by my disobedience." My Christian friends, there's a calamity in disobedience. The cost of disobedience. The course of disobedience. The calamity of disobedience. Now, one last one. The confession of disobedience. Jonah, come on up here. "Do you have anything else to say to this audience this morning?" "Yes, I do," says Jonah. "I have a confession to make." But he says, "Before I do, will you remind them once again what it costs other men to disobey God?" "All right, Jonah, let's do that. Abraham, what did your disobedience to God cost you?" And Abraham looks at us this morning and he says, "Because of disobedience, I lost my faith. I lost my curse. And I lost my testimony." He bows his head. "Moses, tell this congregation this morning, what did disobedience cost you?" And Moses said, "Because of disobedience, I died before my time. I never got home. I missed out on God's reward for me." Moses takes his place next to Abraham. "David, do you have something to say to these people this morning about your disobedience?" And David said, "Oh, yes. I lost my joy. I lost my power. And I lost my testimony too." He takes his place next to Moses. "Lot, do you have anything to say to this congregation this morning about your disobedience to God?" And Lot says, "Listen, because I pitched my tent towards Sodom, I lost my family. I lost my fortune. And I too lost my tent." So he takes his place here next to David. "Jonah, what do you have to say to us this morning?" Jonah says, "Oh, the cost of disobedience. Oh, the course of disobedience is down. Oh, the calamity of disobedience. Others are affected. But I have a confession to make." Jonah stands before us this morning and he says, "I did a stupid thing. I should have known what the psalmist says in the 139th Psalm, 'O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea.'" Jonah says to us this morning, "I can't escape God. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere, and I should have known it. And I lock arms with Jonah this morning. So I stand before you this morning and I say, thank God, God pursues men.
And thank God, he never let them go. I know. I've experienced. Maybe you'd like to come up here and stand this morning. Stand next to me. Maybe the hounds of heaven have been after you. I don't know why the Lord has laid this so definitely on my heart. There must be something that God is speaking. Oh, but I want you to know again. I'm thankful that God pursues me. And he pursues women. You know what he does? He uses them in spite of themselves. I don't know what you should do. My Christian friend, God wants to use you. Don't look at me. Say, what do you? God has blessed the coffee and Bible class ministry down our way. We had ladies come to us and say, Mr. Fiat, I can't teach the Bible. And I said to them, listen, you know more than the lady next door, and you teach it to them. So we've had, I think this past winter, 14 coffees and Bible classes going. And I don't care who you are this morning, you can go out. A lady asked me, how do you get a coffee started? It's simple. We can tell you and you can get, I can guarantee you'll get people in. God can use it. It doesn't have to be the spectacular. I had a Bible class, I was mentioning this to someone individually. I had a Bible class this year. A lady came, she was saved, her husband wasn't, this was for couples. When he came, he didn't even believe that the Bible was the Word of God. You know, about 5 weeks ago, he came to my study. I said, Dennis, he's a stockbroker. I called him up and said, Dennis, I got to talk to you. He came to my study and we sat down and we discussed the Word of God. And before he left my little study, he was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Have that same trip. Everyone. So this time through. It happened in 1963, a missionary who had left the mission field because of some problems. There was rebellion in his heart. So he came home and he got a job and he was quite successful by all outward appearances. One morning he met with a man who had meant a lot to him in his Christian life. And they stood together and they loved each other in the Lord. And they clasped each other's hands. And this man looked into the eyes of the senior brother and he said, listen, God has overtaken me. I can't run anymore. I can't fly anymore. I can't get away anymore. And he gripped this man's hand so tightly that they actually turned white. The blood was squeezed from them. And they went down on their knees together and they thanked God for the pursuit of God. He finds them. He finds them. And he found Jonah. He found Jonah. Oh, may God speak to us. If we've been running from God this morning, I pray that he'll find you and that he'll find me. Shall we pray? Our time is gone. We won't have a closing hymn this morning. But I hope you'll remember my 4 C's and that God will speak. Tomorrow morning it'll be a little happier. We want to speak on 5 wonderful words. God our Father, we pray that Jonah may have spoken to each one of us this morning. We will not forget his message to us. Now take us out today. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. and we fellowship together, but we pray that each one of us may do personal business with Thee. Because we realize this is the most important thing that can be done on these conflict grounds. Keep us from accidents and harm today, we pray. And go with us, we ask. In the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.